Fox Sonic.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a different one. So I'm going to do a bit of a real talk podcast episode. There's been a trend on my social media over the last couple of weeks on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. If you're not following me on there, definitely be sure to check out my platforms there. Brian Keane Fitness on Facebook and Instagram. BrianK019 on Snapchat. But there seems to be a lot more of a trend coming through on people that are really unhappy with the way they're looking. They are following certain Instagram models, bikini girls or competitive men's physique competitors or fitness models that are on magazines, and how it's fueling a kind of sense of insecurity within each person. So I'm going to spend today's episode talking more on that and give you a little bit more of an insight. Again, this is probably going to be a bit more of a niche episode for anybody that is in that world or who wants to see the inside of that world. That if you're somebody and you follow fitness people on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat, bikini girls or top-end competitors, fitness guys, you probably want to listen to this episode in terms of the inside of what's really going on in that industry. And the only reason I'm offering it is because I was obsessed with that side of the industry for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years before I got into it. And I just wanted to be a fitness model so bad. I wanted to be a sponsored athlete so badly. I wanted to compete. I wanted to do all of these things. And then when you actually get in there and pull the curtain back and see what's there, it's a little bit of an eye opener. So I'm going to do this episode and I'm really going to aim it at the me of, you know, 22, 23 years of age, just because I think if I had known, I wouldn't change anything that I did. I wouldn't change the path that I took. I wouldn't change my competitive fitness modeling career. A lot of the things and the body dysmorphia and the abuse of fat burners and all the things that I did brought me out stronger the other side. And again, I molded a lot of my character because of the bad shit that I did and the horrible ways I felt about myself have molded who I am now, and it allows me to help more people. And they say that your mess becomes your message. So I'm going to do this episode for just to kind of give everybody a little bit of an insight on what's really going on from my experience, in the hopes that maybe it helps a couple of people that are battling with their own body image, their body dysmorphia, they're putting their life on hold or their friendships and relationships on hold because they want to be sponsored athletes, they want to be competitors, they want to be fitness models, they want to be Instagram influencers, they want to be known by everybody. So I'm going to kind of talk about that more today. So the first area I'm going to look at is, I wanted more than anything else from the age of probably 15 to 23, 24 was to be a fitness model. I wanted to be a cover model. I wanted to travel the world as a fitness model. And I just wanted to be recognized for somebody that was in great shape. I wanted to look like these guys. It's funny because I never had really dealt with body image until I started competing. I quite liked the way I looked. 21, 22, 23, I was in good shape. I was still playing GAA, I was playing sport. I had abs and I quite liked the way I looked. And then when I went into the world of competitive fitness modeling and I started competing and traveling the world as a fitness model, all these insecurities and body dysmorphia started to creep to the forefront. Because a funny thing happens when you get into the middle of the fitness industry, your bar moves in terms of what you think looks good. And the irony of it is that when you're 6% body fat and 90 kilos of muscle, to the majority of people and to the mainstream, you don't look nice. You're too big, you're too ripped, and you don't actually look nice, but your bar has moved because you see the guy that's 95 kilos at 6% body fat. You see the guy that's 90 kilos but 4% body fat, and you want to be like that person. And the same thing works for females. You see a girl with amazing glutes on Instagram, you're like, oh, well, I want to be like her. And then next thing you do is you start comparing yourself to those people. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is, comparison is the thief of joy. When I stopped competing and got out of that world, and thankfully Holly was born and she's now 2, and my whole life took a different direction when she was born and my health now became a priority, but I had that tattooed on my brain, that comparison is a thief of joy quote, was because I was constantly doing that when I was in that world. And I'll use myself because this episode is going to give you a little bit more of an insight to what the fitness industry is really like. And again, it may be the thing that pushes you to go into it, and it may be the thing that deters you from doing it, and it may be the thing that allows you to go get everything you want, but have the objectivity to realize that it's not everything. But when I was in that world, I started comparing myself with the top athletes. Like, I was very fortunate in the Las Vegas show, the pay-per-view show, that I finished eighth in the world in the fitness model, competitive fitness model. I was able to step on stage and reminisce or to talk with people backstage who I had looked up to for years. It's funny because there's a great quote, they say you should never meet your heroes. I don't fully believe that's true, because every once in a while there'll be an anomaly of a person you're like, oh my God, you were just as amazing in real life, and I can't believe that you gave me the time of day. And I've had that experience in the fitness world. I didn't have that experience. There's people I had followed, and it's so funny because I was a teacher for, you know, 4 years, and from the age of 22, 23, 24, I idolized some of these fitness people. And then when I got to meet them and chat to them, it wasn't how I thought it would be. Some of them were very, very narcissistic. There was a lot of insecurity, and that would project itself in bravado and hubris and ego that I really, really struggle with. It's funny because I had made the decision after Holly was born. I did the Las Vegas show, The World in Las Vegas, and I had made the decision after Holly was born I was going to take a step back from competing. After I did that show, I had decided that that was it. I wasn't going to be in that side of the industry anymore. I'm like, this isn't who I want to be. I literally met the people who I would have at one stage in my life traded my life for to be in their shoes. And when I saw where they were and how their character had manifested through, you know, the millions of followers they had and their own demons that they were battling, I realized that I didn't want that. And again, it's not a knock. Some of these people, I've met some incredible people in the fitness industry, some great fitness models, competitive people that are incredible, and they people that work really hard and have incredible work ethics. But for me, it wasn't something that I wanted to trade my life for. So the next time you're looking on Instagram or you're looking on Facebook and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they get to be in a Highliner jet, or, you know, they're in a cache full of a bed with loads of money and they're getting to shoot videos with the prettiest girls or the sexiest guys, realize that everybody has their own demons. People are battling their own things that you don't get to see because Instagram and social media are snapshots of people's life. And what I have found myself personally, and this isn't the case for everybody, but from my experience, the amount of bravado and amazingness that you see on someone's social media platform is normally a direct inverse to how insecure and how many demons they're actually battling with. It's funny because if you scroll back through my social media and just flick through the competitive days when I was putting up ab selfies and I was an ab selfie wanker and I was putting up no value, I was like, well, look at me, look how good I look, look how amazing I am, look what I'm doing. That's when I was at my most insecure, but you would never have known that from my social media because it looked like I was flying the high life, which it's subjectively looking back now, I suppose it was. I was flying all over the world doing photo shoots. I was working with top photographers, I was competing and collabing with some top people in the industry, and from all intents and purposes it looked incredible. And I would have friends and people in the fitness industry that wanted to do what I was doing come up and go, oh my God, your life's amazing, not realizing that I had my own highest end of body dysmorphia and insecurity at that time in my life. I was miserable at that time in my life. Like, I've spoken about it before. And there's a chapter in my book when I'm talking about the mindset that literally Holly came along, my daughter, she saved my entire life because I was going down a really bad path. I was experimenting with different fat burners. I was so insecure with the way I looked. I hated everything about just the reflection that I saw in the mirror because I was comparing myself to the guys that were bigger. I was comparing myself to the guys that were leaner. I was comparing myself to the guys that had more followers, and that was feeding an insecurity within me that I had never dealt with before. So it doesn't matter what of your gender, it doesn't matter what you see on social media, that's not always how life is. And I'm speaking, and again, I can only use myself because you're your own best example, but you go back on my social media when life looked perfect, when I was putting up the selfies, I was putting up the tags in different locations where I was doing photo shoots, that's when I was at my worst in terms of how I felt internally. But you would never have known that because I would never have projected that out because I wanted everybody to think that I was doing amazing. I wanted everybody to think, oh, look how amazing my life is. Look where I get to go. Look what I get to do, because it was my own insecurity projecting onto my social media so that people wouldn't see how I was feeling on the inside. So next time you look at someone's social media and you think, oh my God, their life's incredible, and for, there's some that I'm sure it is, but that's not always what you see. And in my case, and I've had people say it to me, and I would regularly have people come up to me and be like, your life's incredible, you are in amazing shape, you get to work with this photographer, you get to go to this country, you get to work with this magazine, you get to do all of these things. And inside I was like, oh my God, I hate the way I look, I hate everything that I'm doing. And so it's just to kind of give you a little bit of context for everything, for what you see is not what you get. And I'm just using myself as my own experience, and hopefully it will help next time you look at someone's Instagram and go, I would trade my life for theirs. The next thing is, there's a lot of stuff going on in the fitness industry that isn't above board, that people don't see. There's a lot of different performance enhancers, different steroids, different pro hormones, different fat burners, different diuretics. There's lots of different things circulating in the fitness industry that the regular mainstream don't see. So when you're looking at somebody who is in incredible shape, walking around, and again, don't get me wrong, there are people that are genetically gifted that have never used any performance enhancers, never used any steroids, haven't used any fat burners, and they just look incredible because they have a great work ethic and good genetics. There are those people, there are those girls, and there are those guys. But for the most part, a lot of the people that are in the top level of that industry are there because of other things that they've been able to use. Like, there's a big misconception, and I had this for years, that I'm like, well, if I took steroids and I took fat burners, I'd look like that guy. That's not how they work. You know, as I expand my own knowledge on performance enhancers, the physiological system of the body, or the pituitary gland, and how your actual natural hormones work, and what happens when you put in synthetic hormones, all of these things that I've educated myself on, because again, it was a level of area of interest for me that I was able to have natural curiosity and I wanted to know more. The more I realized that the people in the fitness industry and people that look incredible on social media, the guys and the girls, have incredible work ethics. They look amazing because they put the work in, they get their meals in, they do the training systems, they use the supplements, and some will use steroids, some will use fat burners, some will use diuretics, some will use performance enhancers. That's always going to be the case. The only flip side of that is you're not going to see that, because you're going to see somebody pushing, well, this is fucking Optimum Nutrition Solid Whey 7000 or fucking so-and-so fat burner 10,000 that's going to make you shredded and lean. You know, and by all means, you know, if you've been following any of my other platforms and my podcast, I'm a big fan of supplements and they do fill an amazing gap. I use Optimum Nutrition because they're the first one that come to mind, because they're a company that I really like. So, but the truth is, a lot of the people that are pushing out these supplements are using other things as well. You know, I love the saying that whose bread I eat, the song I sing. And that's the case with sponsorships and athletes. The guy that's walking around at, you know, 100 kilos at 5% body fat all year round, or the girl that's shredded year round with massive glutes and incredibly capped shoulders, they're not that way because they're using this fucking supplement. They're that way because they're dieting hard. They're that way because they're training hard. They're that way because they're possibly using other things that you're not going to get to see, because if they post that they use clenbuterol, or they post that they use testosterone, or they post that they use pro hormones, they're going to get the fucking sponsorship taken off them. So don't be fooled into thinking, well, if I take this supplement, then I'm going to look like that person. And this is something that's very close to me, because I made that mistake for years. I must have spent a small fortune, I feel, a fucking small nation's GDP on supplements that I thought were going to make me bigger, that I thought were going to make me leaner, that I thought were going to make me more ripped, because I liked the way the fitness model looked on the packaging. I've been fooled by everything and probably every supplement from the age of 19 to 23 because I thought that was the silver bullet. The truth is, the silver bullet is what you do day by day, forming right habits, eating the right foods, timing your macros right, making sure you're eating enough calories to grow or in a deficit to lose body fat, using the supplements that support your goal and improve recovery, using things like creatine and beta-alanine if you want to add more muscle size. Make sure your training program is in alignment with your goals. If you want to get bigger, do more hypertrophy, heavier lifts with tension on the muscle. If you want to become a better athlete, make sure you're doing some plyometric work and explosive movements through your glutes so that your glutes fire and you can get faster on a pitch or for whatever your sport is. Making sure that everything is in alignment and doing it day after day is what gets the results. It's not the silver bullet supplement. You know, even though we look at the fitness model or the bikini girl on the cover and go, ah, oh, she uses Lean Body 6000. That's obviously the key. That's the silver bullet. That's what I need to get. That's not the case. You know, and I'm speaking as somebody that was in that industry and I had sponsors, and my sponsors were amazing. And again, I'm so thankful for what they gave me when I needed it at the time. But the truth is, you can't be objective. They're one of the reasons that I don't have a supplement sponsorship now, and I get at least 3 offers every week from different supplement companies. The reason I don't have it is because you can't be objective if you're sponsored by a company. One, you're not allowed to mention the products that you don't like. Two, you're not allowed to talk about other products. And three, you're getting paid to say that this supplement works great. I was fortunate that I had an arrangement with my company that I'm like, well, I will push the supplements I use. I'm not mentioning the ones I think are shit. Or if I am, I'm going to tell people, I think this one is shit, use this instead. And I had that arrangement. It's why I was so fortunate with the ones that I had. But that's not the case. A lot of people don't have that arrangement. And at the end of the day, money talks. You know, if you're getting paid $10,000 or $20,000 a year to get sponsored by a company, which a lot of athletes are, some more, some less, some only get free supplements. It's a case that you are going to sing the song of the person that pays for your food. So just be aware that when you see somebody posting about their supplement stack on social media, some of those people aren't even using those supplements. You know, they're there because they're getting paid by that brand to endorse that product. We have what's called an authority. It's one of the cognitive biases. It's an authoritative bias where when we see an authority, we make an association and an association bias with the person that uses that product. Companies and advertisements on TV have done it for years. When you see, you know, Jennifer Aniston using L'Oreal, or you see some other athlete, Lionel Messi or Ronaldo, drinking Pepsi, we make an associative bias and we make an authoritative bias because they're authorities in their fields that we think, oh, well, they use that. You know, Ronaldo is linked with some of the top companies on the fucking Ab Builder 6000. Ronaldo doesn't fucking use the Ab Builder 6000. He trains harder than anybody else. You know his nutrition is on point. He's probably using amazing supplements that are improving his recovery. He's not using a vibrating machine to give him a six pack, but because there's going to be so much money coming into his pocket and he does a lot of charity work, and I'm sure that money's been invested back into charity, so it's going to be worth it in the long run. But just be aware, he's not using that, or very unlikely to be using that. So my advice would be is don't believe everything you see, because it's not always the case, as somebody that was inside the industry and can give you first-hand experience. Okay, and the last thing then that doesn't get talked about is the truth is there's a lot of eating disorders, body dysmorphia that goes on in the fitness industry that people just don't talk about. And again, I'm going to use myself because I cannot speak for anybody else in the fitness industry, nor would I ever put words into anybody else's mouth. But the truth is I've had discussions with people that are top level competitors that hate the way that they look. And as somebody that was in the industry and during my entire time in the fitness industry, for the whole 2 year period I was traveling the world and competing, I hated the way I looked nearly every single moment. I abused fat burners, some prescription, some over the counter, everything I could get my hands on to get my body fat down because I wanted to look a certain way. Again, the only reason I'm saying that is because my happiness was not in direct correlation to the way I looked. It was actually the complete opposite. When I would have been subjectively the leanest and biggest I ever was when I hated the way I looked the most. Whereas now I'm considerably smaller than I was when I competed, probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 kilos lighter. And I way prefer the way I look now because I put a lot more of what's in my mind, how I can serve people, how I'm able to help people with my business, and how I'm able to be there for my little girl and my daughter are the things that are a priority for me now, not the way that I look. So just be aware, if you're somebody that is going to go into the fitness industry or build a social media following or start competing thinking that it's going to help your body dysmorphia because you're unhappy with the way you look, I'm going to tell you firsthand now, it's probably going to do the complete inverse of that, and you're going to get significantly unhappier with the way you look, because what happens is your bar now moves. You start comparing yourself to the other competitors you're going up against. You start comparing yourself to the other people on Instagram. You start comparing yourself to the other fitness models and bikini girls around the world. And when you do that, that is what leads to absolute devastating insecurity, and it can manifest itself into people using drugs, using steroids, using pro hormones, using fat burners, using all these things that probably aren't going to serve you long term and are going to put plasters and paper over the cracks of what's truly going on for you. The truth is, I've seen so many people go into the fitness industry and into competing, into doing photo shoots, all of these things that when channeled the right way are incredible. And I've spoken on the podcast in the past that you will always be a stronger person for having prepped for a photo shoot. It's a great goal to work towards. And when you have a physical and tangible date that you're working towards, it can give you so much focus and motivation for your training, for your nutrition, for your supplementation regimen. And the same with competing. If you're somebody who wants to come out stronger the other side and get your body fat down to a level that you can step on stage confidently, you're going to be stronger out the other side. It's going to mold a stronger version of you. But if you're doing it to paper over the cracks because you're unhappy with the way you look, I'm going to tell you, as someone that lived it, it's actually probably going to go the other way for you. So be very, very aware that if you're deciding to go into the fitness industry, become an amazing personal trainer with 1,000,000 followers and compete in the top level for pro cards, do photo shoots all over the world or with the top photographers in your country, all of these things, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, isn't going to make you happy. I love the quote that, how can you be happy at the destination if you're not happy on the journey? You know, and it's so true. If the end goal is to look a certain way and you hate the journey because the dieting is hard, the training is hard, you need to have a strong why to get through it, you're not going to be happy at the end destination. And I was somebody that was there. Like my entire, if you would ask me 4 or 5 years ago, I would have traded everything to be one of the top fitness models in the world, to look a certain way, and I was putting all of my esteem and everything I was into that version of me. I got there and it was a very, very daunting experience, and I'm very grateful for the experience that I was able to get there and realize, wow, I've got a little girl at home. I could be helping my people that follow me, and I could be serving and building my business to be able to help more people. And here I was trying to get an extra fucking 6-pack to an 8-pack because I was so self-centered on what I was doing for me, and I wasn't thinking about the bigger picture because I was insecure in the way that I was, and it was all about me. And I'm very grateful that I was able to get there, that I was able to compete on that stage, I was able to get to that level and be have the position and have the network of people that were able to make me self-aware enough that, so what if you're on a fucking deathbed at 40 because you used a shitload of drugs, or you used too many fat burners, or you fucking did the extremes through dieting, or you overtrained, or you pushed your body into a state of chronic stress and you had a heart attack. All of these things that could have potentially happened had I kept going down that route. I don't generally do things by halves, so there's a very, very high chance that I would have done a lot of detrimental things for my health, and I would have done everything to get to the top of that world, because I just have that personality type of, I can't, I'm either all in or I'm not in at all. And I'm very, very fortunate that I was able to get to that side. And the reason I'm making this episode is that hopefully you'll be able to resonate with some of the things that I've said here, that you don't have to experience it yourself. You don't have to do those things to get there, to understand firsthand that it may not be the thing that makes you happy. And again, this episode, I'm making it for, maybe you're the person that was on the fence of whether you should do it, and this will make your decision to either go all in on it or pull out for it and realize that there's more to life than just the way you look, than having 1,000,000 followers, than being a pro fitness model or being a pro bikini girl, that there's a lot more to you. By all means, do those things, but do them for the right reasons. You know, if you're going into the competitive fitness modeling, bodybuilding, or bikini competing world, or you want to do photo shoots all over the world or with top photographers, or just for you, do it for the right reasons. Don't do it to paper over the cracks of an insecurity that you have, thinking that if you look a certain way, you're not going to be insecure and you're going to feel better about the way you look, because the truth is that's not what happens. So that's the reason for this episode. So hopefully, they say the smart people learn from their mistakes, the really sharp ones learn from mistakes of others. So hopefully this episode will go a long way in helping you decide what path is right for you. And if you're somebody that's looking at people on social media and going, well, I wish I was them, or I wish I would trade my life with them, or I wish I looked like them, that just because their life looks incredible and their physique looks incredible, there's a lot more going on with them. People have their own demons. It's relative. You know, just because you're battling to get your last bit of body fat down, and that person that looks like an absolute superstar model, they're worried that their glutes aren't big enough. They're worried that their biceps are too small. They're worried that they've only got a 6-pack and not an 8-pack. It becomes relative, and it sounds absolutely ridiculous, because you can think, well, how could they be insecure with the way they look? And the irony of it is that those people tend to be the most insecure, because their bar is higher. They're comparing themselves to how they were on stage. They're comparing themselves against the other top people in the field, and the insecurity can stem and breed and grow from that. So it's relative, and I'm speaking again, I'm not putting the words into mouth of any other competitor, any other fitness models, or anybody else. I'm speaking from my experience, so you know firsthand, this is how I felt. It's just an internal working to where I was at. And again, as I said, if it helps the person that can't make their decision whether they want to go down this path, or it's the thing that makes you decide to go down that path, at least you'll have this awareness and inside scope and real talk that, well, this is how it is. There's a lot of shit that doesn't get talked about, and hopefully it helps you guys loads. Okay, so a little bit of a different episode today, a bit more of a real talk one. I think I might even title it Real Talk. Again, I have no idea if it's going to hit or land. A lot of these podcasts, I just press record and talk. So hopefully it hits with a couple of people. And a lot of the videos that I do, podcasts I do, if this resonates with one person and helps you with the way that you see yourself or helps you with the way that you see other people on social media, then it was 100% worth it. So thanks again for downloading. For more information on me, you can head over to my website, check out www.briankeenfitness.com. You can get my Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, it's all Brian Keen Fitness, and my Snapchat, BrianK019, which is probably my most active platform at the minute. So massive thank you for downloading, for listening. Thank you to Colm over at Vexonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Catch you guys soon.